Yeah, did my mic turn on this week? Let's see. I think so. Everybody else's mic turned on too.
Hello.
What's up?
Did you guys see how I edited that mess up into the VOD version of the episode last week? Nobody saw that?
Good evening to you too, 3D Blast. Welcome.
Welcome.
Greetings.
I didn't do levels before this, so I'm kind of doing that on the fly too. Whoops.
Okay.
We're on the fly tonight, everybody.
No, we're learning about podcasting one way or another. Whether it's the audience learning or whether we're learning ourselves, you know what I'm saying? Levels.
What if every time you had to hear each other, you had to put your finger on your ear Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be cool.
Yep. Okay.
And what do you think about that, Disco? Welcome to the Funny Net Show. Which one is this? Greetings from Internet USA.
Hey guys, we're welcoming on to the stage today, onto our little show of shows, our dear friend and vaporwave legend.
Yes,
Discoholic.
Thank you. You know, it's an honor. I took George Clinton under my wing, and I whispered in his ear, 100% electronica, do it. And he was like, that's a dope name.
You're a hero.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. I'm not a hero. He's doing his own thing in Chicago. But welcome, Skeleton Lepstick.
Lepstick?
Lepstick.
Dr. Lipstick, you know, to you guys.
Dr. Lipschitz. You ever heard that? Has anyone ever compared you to the doctor from the Rugrats movie?
Did they ever actually show Dr. Lipschitz on the show, or they just mention him by name?
I thought he was in the movie.
Did you ever actually get to see him? Oh, he was in the movie?
I don't remember, actually. Now that you say that, I could not. If you told me right now he's not actually in the movie, but I thought, I swear, he talked. He's like, I am Dr. Lipschitz. Like, I think he's
in
the movie.
Did he talk, or is this just like a Mandela effect thing where you think you know what he sounds like, and they never actually did play his voice?
He's got to be in the movie.
He's got to be in the movie.
He delivers
show his face,
Bill.
Though, or is it more of like a Dr. Claw sort of situation in Inspector Gadget?
Now that you're throwing like it's possible he doesn't exist, I'm like losing all credit.
No, that's actually extremely vaporwave. The idea of like whether this was something
memory.
I imagine, a false memory or true nostalgia.
The most vaporwave
thing
in
the world.
That's
actually a very vaporwave thing.
It's the Rugrats movie.
All right.
No. Orange cassette, right?
This is an orange cassette.
Rugrats are like the worst TV show of like the 90s.
Why?
Rugrats? I have some thoughts on that too.
Who hurt you?
Angelica? On purpose. Claspy Chupo actually designed them to be ugly on purpose because they thought that was amusing. Did you watch? There's a documentary called The Orange Years.
That
was a huge success, that McDonald's show, that like that stupid video cassette that they handed out, that was like tremendous. It actually revamped the McDonald's character's brand. Like, they actually had been like down and out for a while.
Holy
but
shit.
They made that stupid video cassette, and like a whole new generation of kids like bought it and forced everybody to watch it all the time. My brother is like 10 years younger than me, and like he had it, and I had to watch it all the time because of that. So,
well,
yeah.
Before we really get into it.
What are we talking about?
Before we really get into it, we have a message on climate change from our dear friend Jordan Peterson.
Right.
I'll be right back.
Greetings from Internet USA.
Wow.
I'm not expecting that.
He's got pipes.
I heard it's not real.
This episode is sponsored by Mike's Hard Lemonade Seltzer.
Disco's getting fucked up tonight.
It's just a seltzer.
Shut up.
Come on.
It's a hard seltzer.
Hard.
It's hard.
Disco's getting fucked up tonight. He's getting white girl wasted.
What?
I don't know. I think I heard that a few days ago, and I thought
white
it was
girl
lame.
Wasted.
White girl wasted.
I would never get WGW, dude.
The new Christ album.
Talking about podcasting, right?
Nah, don't have to. We can go back to the Rugrats if you want.
Yeah, let's talk about Rugrats
a little bit more. I kind of want to get back to Rugrats for a minute because John had a statement about this being like the worst cartoon show.
It wasn't the worst.
It was a bad one, though.
It does not hold up at all.
It doesn't. And I remember when it premiered, and it was the Nickelodeon made a big deal about our very own Nicktoons. For the first time ever, Nickelodeon is producing its own goddamn cartoons. For once, we're going to seize power and do it ourselves. And they like premiered them all in a row. And I stayed up late to watch them. And I remember the first one was Doug, and the second one was Rugrats, and the third one was obviously Ren and Stimpy. And I do remember like Rugrats coming on being like, they can make a whole show out of this, really?
Yeah, they can make a whole show about that, and then 10 years later.
Every episode's the same, right? You know?
Wait a second. I thought Ren and Stimpy came well before Rugrats.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, John Krakowski obviously had been doing a lot of like obscure, like underground animation stuff for a long time. But
Crick Falusi.
Did I say Krakowski?
Yeah.
Sorry, Crick Falusi. Yeah. Obviously, you would know the correct pronunciation.
Oh, excellent. Dude, I love his work.
He's amazing. But he Ren and Stimpy doesn't come. Premieres at the same time that Doug, Rugrats, and Ren.
It did.
Those were the first three. The fourth one was Rocko's Modern Life, but that doesn't come until like a year or two later.
It was definitely inspired by the whole Ren and Stimpy thing.
For sure. Because Ren and Stimpy was a big crossover, too. Ren and Stimpy was a big crossover. It was very popular amongst older teenagers, so then MTV started broadcasting it in addition to Nickelodeon.
Remember it more on MTV than actually seeing it on Nickelodeon.
Sure, man. They would play it and then have Beavis and Butthead after that.
It was also fucked up. That show is fucking
weird.
It's weird, man.
SpongeBob is basically like a sanitized, kid-friendly version of the art ideas that were pioneered in Ren and Stimpy. Right?
Same music, too. Same kind of 50s production music and same kind of grotesque close-ups. But, you know,
exactly.
It's
cleaned up a little bit. It was like, you know, SpongeBob's a lot more marketable than Ren and Stimpy, you know. Mm-hmm.
No
shade on SpongeBob at all.
Throw shade on SpongeBob. I hate that. I think that's the worst show.
That yellow fucker. Come on,
you think it's the worst show?
I think it was fine. I never liked that show.
You would have been someone who would have grown up with it as a kid, and you didn't like it.
No.
Yeah, I grew up with it as a kid.
Randy and Disco. You guys are younger. John's younger.
First of all, we're the same age. Me and John. Disco's like 11 right now.
Oh, really? I thought that you were younger. You're the same age as John?
I think so. Hey, you're
28?
27, yeah. 28.
All right. Well, you guys are all young. I think you guys are all pretty young enough to grow up with Ren. You're all young enough to grow up with SpongeBob when you were like eight or nine, right?
I didn't have cable until 2009.
You didn't have cable until 2009?
I grew up with fucking like...
I didn't have water until 2012.
Arthur, like PBS. I had PBS. That's what I had.
PBS rocked. Here's the thing.
Arthur was pretty good.
Oh, Arthur was great.
Cyber Chase, that was on there too.
Oh, Cyber Chase, yeah.
Oh, man, that NFT girl or whatever.
Yeah. Did you like watch Wishbone and stuff?
Word Girl.
I was caught the very tail end of Wishbone. Like,
no pun intended with that one.
No pun intended.
There's this show called. I remember there was a time when we didn't have cable, but I was still living at home, and we would watch all those like kids shows, but they were like well written. I remember watching Arthur and like laugh, like being like, "That's funny." And same with like Word Girl and that like Ruff Ruffman game show.
Oh, Ruff Ruffman
like,
was great.
Like the riffs were like spot on. And I was like, "What the fuck? This is good.
Why is this good?"
My PBS childhood included like "Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?"
Okay, I remember that. There was a animated version.
That came on Fox Kids.
And I thought you said anime version.
There was an anime version.
I was almost.
I would love it. It actually was pretty close to anime aesthetics when you looked at that old cartoon show for "Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego." That is like a really like absurdly like operatic theme song for it too. If you remember, like the theme song for that TV show, it's like "Where is Carmen Sandiego?" Like it was like crazy. Like it was like not catchy at all, and like bizarre, like bizarrely operatic. I liked it though, but it was like so you couldn't sing it, and there was like no melody for it. It was
just
dramatic, to say the least. Carmen Sandiego is interesting, God. Right?
Yeah, that's all coming back to me. That's awful
nostalgia.
Yeah, man. Carmen Sandiego is an interesting character. She's like a supervillain. Is that what she's supposed to be?
Yeah, it's kind of that. She's the first main character that's not good. I remember blowing your mind later. We were like, wait, Carmen Sandiego. Well, think about it. It's like she's like the mascot of something. She was very popular.
There's like, no other mascots that are like for bad.
But I'm thinking like
no, I know what you're saying. Yeah, that's a good point. I'm just trying to think of another
Carmen Sandiego, but you're like, wait a second. The only other thing I can think of is like Pink Panther, which is like the name, not the name of anything. It's the name of the diamond. And the thing you're looking at is what?
Well, that sort of thing happens. Like, okay, like I'm trying to think of another thing where like. Well, I mean, like Zelda, right? Is about the princess. It's not about Link, right?
She's the villain, yeah.
Okay, wait. Should we talk about podcasting? Is that like, should we do that at some point?
As long as we keep podcasting, it'll count.
Yeah. See, if as long as we're in a podcast, we're good.
Oh, touche. All right.
Yeah. Basically, I wanted to do an episode on communicating. And how are you communicating? And I mean,
talking to guests.
Yeah.
And yeah. Because like, okay, so like, obviously me and you, host podcasts. The other two guys in this hate me.
We're just sidekicks. We're dragged along.
And it's like I don't know. I guess I'm trying to think if I've talked to anybody else who's hosted a show like that besides like.
We've been on the 3D cast. Did you ever talk to anybody?
I hosted that, right? I'm talking about who did their own. I got Indy, I guess. We talked to Indy.
Indy, right?
Molo.
Yeah. We didn't talk to Molo one yet.
Oh.
But I have talked to Molo, yes. But I'm talking about in general, like in a more like in-depth, like, oh, let's talk about it. You know what I mean?
At least the people we've had on here, I think you know, it's just him.
Just him, just you.
And now we've got Mr. Lippy Stick over here.
I guess even you were saying it before we went live that you were just like, I'll just be on the show, but Isaac runs it.
Isaac runs it. So you actually might want to have Isaac on to discuss the technical stuff, but does anybody really want to know about the technical stuff, or do they want to know about like what it's like to talk to people? Like, you know what I mean?
Who books the guests?
I usually ask people.
Mic. Okay, see, I'm that guy people. Too.
Yeah.
But
we kind of just like, and it's usually just sort of, and I don't know, like it's not exactly random the way I have the guests on. Yeah. Like it's usually like I am thinking, like I want to get like everybody from like Vaporwave on at some point. Like I'm like, I intend to like get everybody on. And like it does like come down to like who would be interesting this week? Like who might be interesting that week?
There's sometimes where like moments happen.
Who did we have last week and who might be a better, someone to compliment who we had last week for this week?
I looked at both of our lists because I think we have a very similar amount of episodes. Funny enough.
Oh.
I think so.
Okay.
Ish.
I think this is episode 19.
That you have like 20 something, right?
Episode 19, yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And like I looked at the guests that we've had that overlap and it's not that many. It's not as many as you'd think. I think only five of our guests have overlapped.
I'm kind of aware of that too, and like that's why I'm like, well, later we'll ask these people. I hope that there are people out there who I'm friends with, and I hope they understand that like you're gonna be asked eventually.
Like,
this is like you're not like I already know about you. I want to have you on soon. It's just. You know, you can only do one at a time. The worst part is like, I really enjoy talking to everybody. Everyone's so fun and inspiring and smart and has so much interesting things to say. And I just, is my friend. And like, I wish I could had a dimension where I could have everybody back on again right away. And you know, but we only live in one dimension, sadly. Well, so there's like not multiple versions of it.
With 3D cast, we had like me and then at the time, my friend Samir with a guest. And then we were like, well, if we like kicked to hit it off, I'd like kind of invite them back for the next episode. And not that like there's anybody I particularly didn't like, but like, you know, just, you know how things work. You hit it off with people. Some you do, some you don't. Some it's more of an interview. Some you say your goodbyes. Some you end up spending 6 hours after the show recorded. And then it like snowballed to where we just had like episodes with like fucking 7-8 people on. Or I'm like, oh, Christ, not... Actually, Christ, but you know what I mean. Like,
you can't talk to them all at once. You know,
yeah,
but it's tough too.
And
because
scheduling
like,
was hard too.
You know, when you do these shows, you know, everybody you're inviting on is like usually. You know, I know you talk about like what's it like to talk to these people that you don't know, but for the most part, I don't know, man. If you're like in the vaporwave world, I mean, we're probably even if we don't talk that often, like we're friends probably, and we'll be friends when we talk, even if we've never talked before. Yeah, because like. it takes a certain kind of like person to get this deep into this world. You know what I mean? And like that certain kind of person is probably part of your spiritual tribe. And even if you've never spoken to them before, when you do speak to them, it'll be like coming home. You know what I mean?
I'm trying to think like,
nah, I mean,
there's a ton of people who we still like, you know, you saying have to get on, but then I'm like, there's certain people where I'm like, have I made a connection with them to where this wouldn't be a weird ask? Or is it ever a weird ask kind of thing?
It is occasionally a weird ask. Like,
I'm glad you agree. I feel like you, I was like, I wonder if you have, like, if you're going to be like, never, but, like, I think it's funny that you would agree with that sentiment.
I would definitely agree with that, because there are some people who you don't really, like, you know, you don't want to feel like you're, you know, like, I don't know, like you're bothering them maybe, or you don't know them well enough to ask us. And you probably, but I've found that everyone's very excited to be asked. Everyone who comes on the show has a really fun time and wants to come back, because at the end of the day, you know, you're coming on, you're talking to your friends in the chat, and the people in the chat are your friends too, and the people who you're talking to are your friends. And it's like, it's really nice in the same way, like going to Electronicon, like before the shows, like these things, like honestly, like, think about how much fun it was to go to Electronicon to see all your friends there and to talk to them. And like, you know, then it's like, oh, fuck, when am I ever going to talk to them again? But you know, when you have these shows, you can kind of.
Yeah, I did notice that like the worlds of each of our guests, like very reflected each of us pretty funny. Like the people you've had on, even I'm not even saying like, oh, you're bigger or whatever. But it's like you had like Keith, you had like a Quip, you have like FM Skyline, like people that like I've seen you associate with. And like we've had on like Frank, Pad, Fiber, like people that we've associated with, and like there's obviously crossover, but I think
had
it's funny.
Fiber on, and your esteemed co-host, Jonathan. And honestly, at some point, like both of you guys are going to be on sooner or later. You know,
we should just do an official. We should just collab or combine our overlays.
That would be
and
fun.
Turn all our like windows into like TVs and have like pillars on the left and right. It's like a collab of like and, graphic design.
I was kind of feeling bad about not necessarily inviting Isaac, but at the beginning of this idea, I think I just mentioned like, oh, what about Skeleton this week? And then they're like, okay. And then we thought about like what we could talk about, and then it kind of snowballed and like leaned towards like the hot take stuff. Then I was like, oh, well, if we're doing an episode about podcasting, but then this was like earlier today, and I was like, maybe next time. Because again, it wasn't supposed to be like, we weren't necessarily supposed to be like, you only you represent the thing.
You can only have one person on, and also like I'm
not this not well, this I five mean, person setup has to say about it.
Okay, but also like I mean, you only have like usually like one guest on anyway for the most part when you already have three co-hosts too. And also, you know, Skeleton Lipstick, I don't have to just talk about podcasts.
I didn't have to write anything down for this episode.
We can talk about Terminally Chill. We can talk about early Vaporwave days. We can talk about whatever music I'm coming up with or the process of making
music.
Well,
that was another thing.
I am Skeleton Lipstick. There is like many things that I... this is why I don't... And this is the reason why I don't do the technical stuff for the website, is because there's a bunch of other things that I do. I have to do.
Well, that's why, because it was like booking an online show and just... I know you've been active... online and in real life, so that's kind of also where it says like podcast or help or podcasting, but it was more like I think interesting thoughts about talking to people that you either don't know very well, have to like booking people for a live show, so and so this and that.
That's a really good question, because you're right, because the live show thing is a thing as well. But yeah, let's get back to that. There are definitely some people who I'm like who I'm friends with that I wouldn't ask always to, I wouldn't maybe like want to bother too much to come on to like hot takes. And that's like very few people, but I mean, you know.
Can I say something funny that my friend said to me literally about a half hour to 40 minutes ago before I hopped in this call? We were talking about his life, and he's a bass player in Minneapolis. Shouts out Andy. And we were talking about just doing URL shows and, you know, how most of them are free or all these events. And then he was like, you think about the people that play these shows are the people that say yes to them. And for some reason that it was like, there are people out there who say no, that are, those are the ones sometimes that you want because they're busy enough to be able to say no. in a weird way. This is the thought I was like kind of laughing at. I was like, yeah, like
it's true. Like I said no this week to something going on in March. Because I between everything I'm doing right now, on top of just living and not having time, I had to say no because like it gets to the point where you just like I got a lot on my plate and I don't really feel like, you know, doing something that's in the grand scheme of things is not going to do much for me. You know, if I was smaller, if I was upcoming, you know, I'd probably put more, you know, weight into it. But where I'm at right now, I don't feel like I need to say yes to everything, you know.
You don't need to say yes to everything, even if you're smaller, too. Like, I think that you guys don't need to, like, nobody needs to stress their mouth too much if they don't have to. But it's interesting because, like, there's a balance between, like, you know, saying no to certain things and just because you have too much on your plate or et cetera, et cetera. But, like, also, you know, remaining still supportive of people putting on things in the community.
I'm obviously and, like, not shitting on people who do anything.
Yeah, like I'll say yes to most things until I am like overwhelmed with things I've taken on. Like I during the quarantine era, right? Like I think that I said yes to almost every single one of the live streams.
Yeah,
I was asked to do, and I ended up doing a lot of them. I can't even remember how many I did. I did so many of them, and the other thing was that I made sure that each one I did was different and unique and had a different, like, sort of theme to them, aesthetically, musically, etc. And like, I put everything. Like, if you ask Skeleton Lipstick to do something for you, he's going to put everything into it. And like, that's kind of how I get responsibility most of the time to do things. Like, I was allowed to like. The Electronicon thing, right? The after party on the George put me in charge of that because I'm pretty sure that he knows that I'm not gonna fuck it up. I'm not gonna be worried. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do my very best. I'm gonna make sure it's fucking awesome when I do it to a high standard. And I'm not gonna make it not tacky. It'll be interesting. So I get asked to do a lot of things because I'm pretty reliable. But I'll take on as much as I can until I can't anymore. And then I have to say no. And I've learned that to set that boundary is not like, not a mean thing to do. And it's not a snobby thing to do either. I'm not saying no to people because I'm trying to like increase my brand awareness and like build something out of that.
No, obviously, I don't think anyone's really doing that.
We get overwhelmed, right?
But like, that's kind of why I'm like, most people in the scene would love to. But the people who say no are the people who are like, they're working on something worth it.
They're the grinders.
I think so. It's hard to tell. It's in a weird way. I think
the thing is like those things really can drain you, especially if
they're really hard. Disco. Oh my God. You more than anyone else in the world.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because the thing is like, especially with a live show online,
Here, Isaac's here. What's up, buddy? Love him.
You go to a different, you know, city. You can play the play in another city because you're not going to see the same people. Maybe one or two, you know, groupies are, you know, following you along the trail. But at the same time, you can play like the same stuff like in different cities when you're playing online.
Yeah.
That's my debate. Your old thing's already online though.
I'm curious. I'm like, I don't have anything to show off right now. I will, but I'm like, I don't know. I think if somebody waited like a few months, then I'd definitely be like, oh, I got stuff that I want to play live.
On a platform where your music is more accessible, it's harder to like, you know, showcase your new things when it's already up there. Anyone can access it.
Like uploading six live sets on my YouTube channel, and then you go through them and half of them have all the same songs because I'm playing like my music. It's kind of like, you know, you gotta pause it at some point, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're making a lot of music, it's because the thing is like as you get better, you know, as you get, you know, sort of more a critical ear to things, you know, you don't make quite as much as you used to. You know, you sort of slow down because you slow down. You sort of got to be more methodical about it. Think about it, you know?
That's the thing is sometimes you do slow down later on into the whole process of being in this artistic world and being an artist, right? Because all of a sudden, you know, people do start looking at what you're doing. You have made a tiny little like mark, and you are getting a little bit of attention. And sometimes it's like, it's only a little bit of attention, but it's still more than the average person who's making music or art is. And then you're like, it gets harder to make your next move because you're like, I have like a little bit of attention.
Yeah.
But it certainly don't have a lot of attention. And I certainly could lose whatever I have right now if I do something that people don't like. Like if I had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of listeners and followers, fuck man, I'd feel pretty confident and I'd actually make more music. But when you're at this like sort of niche cult like world of music and you have like a following, but you don't have that hundreds and hundreds of thousands, you're like, I need to make sure that whatever I put out is like, I'm so proud of, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You're building up your own standards as you go and it becomes harder to like set the bar.
And then when you're younger and you just started and you're finding your voice, like you're really like throwing it up against the wall and like, you know, you're doing really good work. You're putting a lot of energy into it, but it's, I mean, maybe it is your voice. Maybe it isn't your voice yet. You know what I mean? And you don't have that much to lose yet. Right. Cause like, you're not out there yet. Really. You don't have anything to lose. Like, you know, like do your very best work and throw it out there without even thinking too hard about how about it. You know, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Going back to the whole vaporwave part of that, you know, I think it might be why you see a lot more aliases in vaporwave than you might see in other genres, because people, they want that sort of freedom to just put whatever out without having to, you know, really worry about damaging their, you know, main name. And even if it comes out later that like, oh, this was your project, at that point, like, you may not even care.
Yeah.
You
know, I mean,
you say that about online music in general, where it's easy to, you know, put other aliases behind your music because it's easy to make a new account and shit.
We've all talked to Dan about like how worried he was when he put out his first original album, like I'm assuming Void.
Void.
And even from like his Miami Virtual to Void, and then even F from Forever Nothing to I'm Not Going Anywhere, the same like wait, I'm doing something different under Dan Mason, like are people gonna be mad at me? Well, and I think he's had great luck because he's a great musician. It's a legit worry.
Hey, it worked out for him. Doesn't work out for him, but I can tell you that.
Oh yeah, let's talk about that for a second. So yeah,
No.
Especially, I was going to talk about, specifically, now here's the other thing too, is like in vaporwave, like let's say you do become one of the more popular vaporwave artists, right? You're still not that big in the end of the day. You know what I mean? Like you're still like, people are like, oh man, only the successful vaporwave artists. Like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? Even the most successful vaporwave artist is like a blip in the radar of like what's going on in the big indie world right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or what's going on, and let alone the big mainstream music world, right?
Yep.
It's like the most popular or least known vaporwave artist to the highest, most well-known vaporwave artist is not that far away from each other if you like zoom out really, really far in the music world, right? Like you're not that many steps away from the most popular vaporwave artist, honestly.
I listened to an episode of Hot Takes today. I was listening to John's episode.
Yes.
And you said the exact same thing.
I know, man. I'm consistent. I know what I write. Yeah. I know I've said this. I keep trying because it's a point that makes sense, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
I
because John was talking about vaporwave going to die and my money.
Yeah. That's, well, John's consistent too. He'll say a lot of things that you've heard him say. Like when he comes on both his Hot Take podcasts, and many times I've talked to John in general.
Yeah, he's not optimistic.
I can be pleasantly surprised when it doesn't die.
John, continue the attitude. I think it motivates people to work really hard, in my opinion. I like it.
I think you're the first main character in vaporwave to be a villain.
There's a whole cabal of people who've made a career off being the villains, and that's fine for them too, and they get a lot of hate, and on my opinion I'm like, I think it's an act and it's getting attention.
They know what they're doing.
I don't know. I've talked to many of them personally over the years, and they're not like that when I speak to them personally.
No, of course not.
You know,
I've talked to a few, and some I loathe. But anyways.
Oh, my.
That's a hot take.
We need a noise like that when someone does a hot take. We have the fire that goes on.
Yeah,
We had to go like some kind of silly noise needs to play, I think.
Just keep it like that. Okay. It's great.
All right. Thank you.
Do you consider yourself to have open boundaries, or do you consider yourself to have walls up, like me?
Walls up? Me?
No, yeah. Do you consider yourself to be, on a scale of 1 to 10, how immediately accepting of somebody are you in the scene?
Oh, I'm pretty accepting of everybody for the most part. And
what does
it take
for you to be like,
but you know what? There's like a difference between...
Hot takes is a safe space
for all.
Well,
there's a difference between me being accepting of someone and then thinking that so everyone is accepted, but certain people will receive different conversations occasionally based on what they want to talk about how they view making art or how I think they view doing certain things.
Let me rephrase this actually.
Some people want to discuss the inner workings of like the existential philosophies behind Vaporwave, and I'm happy to talk to them about that. And then some people just kind of want to talk about making cool tunes, and that's fine too. And I will talk to the people who just want to make cool tunes. I'm going to talk to them about making cool tunes, and the people who have like some sort of like deep ideas, not that any idea is more deep or valid than another idea, but some people want to approach this from a strange sort of like, ethereal perspective when they make music. And some people want to just make cool tunes, and I will speak to them both differently.
Kind of rephrase it in a way where it's like,
am I getting the question wrong?
Obviously the scene is itself a whole thing. We've all had experience with different people. Are you the kind of person where you meet someone and it's like, you're okay until you prove me wrong? Or are you, I'm a little weary until you prove me right kind of guy?
I am accepting of everybody, but I'm certainly a little bit like,
have you learned your lesson?
Hold on.
Somewhere in the middle is okay.
Somewhere in the middle, probably, because at the same time, like, I am like, I'm very hard on myself, basically. And I try to hold myself to a high standard. I try to the things that I make, I try to make sure that they are infused with my energy and my genuineness, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And my artistic integrity goes into what I do. And it's true that when I meet somebody, I am looking at them to see like who they are, you know what I mean? And where they're, why they're approaching this and why they're doing this and like what they intend to do with it and what they intend to make. And if I can feel that they are, their authentic self is going into their work, whatever that self may be, then that's fucking awesome. And I love them. And I probably have a lot to learn from them and experience and hear them. And I'll probably be very interested in what they have to say. But there are some people who may be a little bit more vapid or vacuous in regards to like things. And it's not that I dislike them. It's just that I grow weary. Like sometimes I get involved in these discords. And it's just a bunch of motherfuckers like, oh, I cursed. I mean, do we not allow to do that on Twitch? I do it all the time.
Yeah, what the
on
fuck?
Twitch. I forget what the rules are on Twitch. I'm sure I curse all the time on Hot Takes.
You're good. You're good, man.
There's like one time like I had nudity
I
didn't know, and I had like nudity in my visuals for obviously Disco, the one that you and Fiverr
were running Wave Pool.
And I was like, we had to put a sensor screen over top of my whole performance. I didn't know boobs were so offensive.
I think it's so funny that it happened like that. I cherish that
moment.
They're
like weird ones too.
When it happened,
like,
I was like, who else?
Weird boobs?
Oh. I was like, who else would submit tits into their... I was like, who else? I knew it too. I was like, that's so funny.
I'm so happy that you assumed that I would be the one to have like weird nudity in my streams.
Because I remember watching it, and I was just like...
That's like a tremendous compliment.
Okay.
Thank you.
And then it happened, and I was like, of course
it did. Crashed the server with inappropriate images. Hey man, what can I say? Edgelord over here.
Yeah,
you know,
one of my friends who isn't in the vapor scene at all said she really liked your set. She tuned in.
Oh, that's
in.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah. Well, that's the thing too, is when
tits.
I make this stuff, do you like the tits? Who doesn't? I try to make it to a you want to like speak to the back of the crowd, right? You want to You want to, you're not just trying to please the people who already like you or who would like you anyway, but you want to like shout to the back of the room, right? The people who aren't even paying attention, maybe they'll turn their head for a moment when you're doing something and you're creating something interesting that, you know, you'll grab them and pull them in, and they will maybe like your stuff a lot. And then maybe they'll like the other people that are playing as well, or the other people involved in what you're involved in. So that's the thing. You know, reeling them in with a unique world and interesting ideas and fun, right? And playfulness, and also weirdness too, and like mystery, you know, and creativity. It's fun. It's a fun world. It's a fun little sandbox to play in, this whole world.
I love it.
Yeah, it's fun, right, Disco? You know how much fun it is to play in this little world where people are like, oh, they reward creativity. In the right context, they'll reward great creativity.
That's
in the wrong context, they'll just kind of get stuck buying the same shit over and over again and repeating the same garbage over and over again and like at each other. See, now that's when I get weary of people, right? So you're talking about who I get weary of, and I get weary sometimes. I don't go into the Discords very often because that's like honestly where I get into trouble and get bored, as where like I just see people like back and forth regurgitating like the same thing over and over again, buying the same thing over and over again, talking about the same controversy over and over again. I don't even know what the fuck like they're saying half the time. I don't know. It's never about art though, you know. It's about their, and then they get angry, and then they use the word clout all the time, and I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, you see
it. What is clout? This is like the smallest little micro scene in the world. Shut up. You don't.
You'll
like,
notice with
crazy,
a lot of these people too, like. They'll make fun of you. Or
I had one conversation about art. All they talk about is clout. Shut up. Make something. Make something interesting. If you're not getting enough attention, maybe you're not making interesting shit. Fucking A, man. Like, stop repeating the same like imagery. Stop repeating the same techniques.
This is a message to Discord. Get your act together, or else I will kill you.
Not everybody in Discord, but like
most of people. Everybody in Discord
on getting so upset about whatever, and it has nothing to do with like an interesting topic.
I want to hear what Discords you're talking about because I
don't know, because like I can't because I subscribe to
the hot takes. Podcast Discord, that one?
I've never been in the hot takes.
The 3D Blast Discord, you saw somebody posting in there?
I don't know which ones they are, because I'll scroll through, I'll just click on one and just go down them all, and then like when something either is interesting or a little bit eye-rolling, I might stop for a moment.
I just name-search them.
I feel like what you're talking about is just inherent to like
it's just inherent in chat rooms in general, correct.
That's why, yeah, that's the thing. That's why my take is always... I build the walls up, and you have to penetrate it for me to be like, all right, you're cool. Because in my head, I see most people as just... if you can break through. If you're a real one... Battle Muppets, yeah.
I said babbling Muppets, but battle Muppets. Battle Muppets is exactly what I'm going to call people who fight in Discord about dumb shit and use the word clout all the time. I'm going to call them Battle Muppets.
Should be a card game or a TV show.
All they care about is someone who they know already. Brr, they never try and look for new artists. Brr, like, oh my God, man. Stop focusing on the fact that no one's looking for you. Start focusing on what your fucking point is as an artist. What's your fucking theme?
All they care about is
thesis,
if it's
motherfucker.
If it's the sweet sound that lured the young sailors, Rainbow Connection, Miss Piggy.
Rainbow Connection. I'll never find it.
Miss Piggy. Dude, that's crazy. That's the thing. Communication, methods of communication is important as well. But like, because a lot of times we know each other simply through text. Which is another reason my walls. Because you meet people, you talk to them, you're like, holy fuck. Luckily, you can tell the people, most people who are like, I don't want to say take it seriously, because I don't think, you know, we're all just having some fun most of the time. But like, you can tell the people that like, that vibe, that get it. Like, I went to Electronic Con and I met, I'm pretty sure, the whole lineup. And like, nobody was like, fucking weird. They were all people. I mean, I was familiar with a lot of them, but a lot of them just through text, right? Like, I didn't talk to most of them. And then they're all just, they get it. And it's, but sometimes it's
on the
ones.
Same wavelength, the super vapor wavelength.
It's really weird sometimes talking through text with some people because it's really hard to, like, pinpoint context. It's like, one artist that I worked with, you know, When I was talking with him, you know, over DMs, like, I just, like, it felt like he just like he annoyed me. There's a bad like
how name him. I'm just kidding.
No. but when I like got a one on one with him in a voice call, it was all cleared up because it all made sense at that point. You know, it's like
I got it.
But things like things over text don't always work, and it's.
What's funny to me is when I first met Wizard of Loneliness for the first time, he was chatting on my stream in YouTube. So that was a long time ago. Wow. She was spouting absolute nonsense. And for some reason I was like, let's pull this guy into the voice chat.
Wow. Really? That's a great story.
The only reason is I knew he was an artist already. He wasn't just some rando, but I was like, fuck it. I think we were playing Mario Kart online, and we were like, fuck it,
You responsible for bringing Wiz into the...
No, he was already making music.
He was already making music,
I didn't
pull
him into the scene. I meant, like, in terms of, like, our whole group or whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Because
that's... You're friends.
I think Sterling was the one who was, like, in Carta 95. He was the one that was, like, have you heard this album by Wiz? And I was like, I don't know who that is. And then
Doing on card is a stream. He's doing a big stream. I think for spring break. I'm coming out of a streaming retirement to do a set.
They're short too, which is what.
Yeah,
like he doesn't want like half hour sets. He's just like 5 minutes. Yeah,
I'm gonna do a couple of new songs.
I have to teach him. I won't even say much because it's enough stress to watch him plan it. Mm. Like we talk like every day, so like him talking about planning it, and everybody who he asked and everyone who's sending stuff, I'm like. I organized my own URL show with like people I knew, and then he asked like 100 people he doesn't know, and I'm like,
oh my god, how many people are participating in it?
I don't know if it's 100, but it's a lot. I feel like he asked everyone to send something.
That sounds so hard to organize. I don't know how people do that. I don't know how people do these things that last
it's
forever.
About 60 says indie.
They just have naturally wrinkled brains, indie? And they indie just right fit there? All these.
He's done this indie before. Unbelievable.
Shout
out Indie Advent for all his hard work and all the wonderful things he does. And I believe he does a lot for the Hot Takes. He does a lot for the Hot Takes podcast as well, and like archiving these things on YouTube. And wouldn't be anywhere without him. By the way, he's like a hero.
He's not a hero.
He's indie. What I was gonna say.
Just tremendous in my admirer.
Let's just all agree to say the hero. No, I'm just kidding.
Hero.
No wonder people are doing like pre-recorded sets, because like with that many artists coordinating them to not just submit their sets by a deadline, but to be live at this very moment across different time zones.
You can do
No wonder people are doing your pre-recorded all the time.
Yeah, you can do it, but obviously it's like usually when I have played a few. I think Bakari did a bunch. Bakari Sweat, did a bunch, and it's usually like a lineup of three of us. Plus, they usually go themselves, so they have like their house DJs, and then they have like maybe two or three live ones. Mm. So it's not. I couldn't imagine doing like 10 live sets. That would be a headache.
Man, it doesn't matter. Like, it's on that screen. Like, you can pre-record it and just send it to people. It's not like live.
Sometimes people want their DJs to talk to the chat and interact and maybe even take requests. But that's like a different ball game from.
Yeah,
like
it's a different ball game. Exactly. Yeah.
In the world of Vapor, that's very different.
I always say, as long as if you're hosting an event that you're kind of advertising as some sort of live event, even if it's sets pre-recorded, as long as it's like a live element to it, where it's like. I did it live. That's what I look for personally. I know there's some variations and some people just do like, visual audio stuff. But personally, when I look for like a cool thing, I like to have like, the artist do. Oh, yeah. John, sorry.
Well, at that point, it's like a premiere. You know what I'm saying?
What I can't do, things like I could do stuff live. It's not going to sound good, though.
I want you to stand there in front of your computer, and you should. Okay, your next live set should be you, laptop, table, projector behind you, and you just film that instead of
just
whatever
like
the
your
projector.
Electronicon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Bro, no,
yeah, no, there's the, no, there's that one part of it. There's no, you can't deny it. You have to do
you
it.
You have to believe.
You have to do it.
Yeah, okay.
I'm thinking,
like John, that's a lot. I like the way, I like the
no, we hate John. Aesthetics
that he has for when he with, and it's like it's very on brand with the artistic character he has created with Christ.
Yeah, I it's whatever.
Or it's whatever. Or it's just whatever.
No, I like his slapsets too. I mean, like, they're iconic, right? Nobody does them like
they
that.
They are iconic.
They're iconic. But, like, yeah. You should, dude, that'd be crazy if you learned, if you got, like, a SP-404 and you looked like everybody else.
He just grew long hair and the best, started headbanging.
The best part about Vaporwave live shows is they normalized, Vaporwave live shows normalized sitting down and doing a set.
Man, that's what I want to do. I did that father show in Pittsburgh, and you know, I just sat down. I had my laptop and just bam, boom, done.
I rearranged my room, and I have my setup now. So if I just turn to my left, I can sit and mix. I was like, I feel like when I first started DJing, it's like a sin. Like, I remember, I think I talked to someone who saw someone sitting down and mixing. They're like, you're not supposed to do that.
There's no rule.
I know, but it's like,
is for fucking chumps.
Standing is for people with legs.
I feel like we should have on screen next to the funny girl window, like a notepad widget that says days without talking about Electronicon. And it's all zero.
It's always zero.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, you know, I think that maybe one of the other things we can get back to with podcasting and having guests on is like, yeah, it is, it's not just approaching them, but when they get there, and, you know, what to ask them, right? That's another question.
Well, you said,
right?
You don't, this actually leads into a second part of something I actually have written down is how much do you write down, if any?
Nothing. I have questions I want to ask people, but they'll just come up as the day moves forward, or as the conversation moves forward, that is to say. Like, no, I don't write down any questions because, I mean, everybody coming on is, I'm aware of their art. I'm aware of who they are. I'm going to ask them, I ask people pretty similar questions, honestly, because I'm going to get very different answers, and I'm also going to learn a lot about
the person. That's true.
Isaac has, Isaac and I ask relatively very different types of questions. Isaac is really fun. He asks questions that are sort of like, what's your favorite? And then he'll like bring up like a subject. He might even like, if he knows where you live, he's like, well, what's your favorite taco stand around that area? Or he'll ask like, what's your favorite album? And he'll give you two choices. Like, which do you like, this one or this one better? Like, he'll ask some questions like that, that are about your tastes and things and how you respond to that. And that's fun. And I usually ask pretty open-ended questions. Like, I ask almost everybody who comes on Hot Takes questions like, you know, what's the first time you felt you were really moved by a piece
I did notice
music?
That on the episode I listened to, there's a few questions that I was like, well, that's a good one. I think you said something like, who is your idol / mentor? And I was like, man, that'd be that's a fun question. But we don't have the answer to those.
I
are yours.
Like to ask questions. I like to ask those kinds of questions like that because it gives me a deeper sense of who that person is.
Exactly.
And if I know who that person is a little bit more, I understand what their music is and what it is to them and how they're communicating. So a lot of times when you make music, you know, you're communicating yourself into the music. You're trying to speak to someone. You're trying to have you're like when you make an album, you're like, I want you to know me without me having to say it. You know what I mean? You know, this is who I am without me having to speak words to you. I'm going to communicate my energy to you through the art, right? So I'm always interested to know, like, where did that start? Where did people get the impetus?
I think
to
that
begin
question itself,
doing this as a way to communicate who they are.
The question itself is giving credit, and it almost is like giving it to somebody who the word mentor is very good instead of just like who your influence is. Cause like there's somebody, people in the scene that maybe
phrase it like that on purpose,
like your friend, like, you know, a lot of your friends, there's a people that you'd consider who like help in other ways that aren't necessarily like, oh, I make music like this, but like the way they handle themselves, or if maybe they're a step ahead of you and kind of give you tips or warn you about certain things.
Very important stuff, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing I asked too, is like, is that kind of stuff too? Because, you know, just the nature of like, there's people who are out there making music right now and they're not exactly sure how to navigate the world of doing it. And so you ask questions like, well, who showed you certain things? Who helped you? Why did they help you? Why did you choose them? How did they help you? How'd you learn? And like, you know, this helps people to understand, you know, that give them a little roadmap of how to do this kind of too. Because I'm looking for roadmap. We're all looking for roadmaps. We're all trying to learn from each other. You know, I mentioned this in the so Pat Shannington just released his video, right?
I haven't watched it yet, but yeah, I will.
And it's like the birth of Vaporwave Echo Jams video. And so I provided a counterpoint in that video, you know, because I think that something that happens a lot is that, you know, people tend to associate the idea of particularly like movements, like music movements, with like who did it first, who created it first, as like the starting point of everything. And like sonically that can be correct, but it's not necessarily true, because a movement doesn't, and I say this in the video, like a movement doesn't begin until there are like-minded artists exchanging ideas with each other, right? So like it doesn't matter. I mean, Echo Jams is extremely important sonically speaking, and it inspired a lot of people, but a lot of things inspired a lot of people in the vaporwave scene, right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't really Echo Jams that started something. It was the people who listened to Echo Jams and found each other and then started making music. And that's where a scene starts.
I mean, even
and that's where the music movement starts. Because, and so I bring up like 18 Karat Affair all the time as like my person who I think is really the person who started Vaporwave. Because when in the very early days, a lot of us were grasping around trying to communicate a different mood for music, and we were drawing on our influences. And those influences included Boards of Canada, Plunderphonics, Negative Land, James Ferraro, 10 Tricks Point Never. And obviously, we all watched the Memory Vague shit. You know, we all. You know, the prison was it Memory Corp or Prison Corp? I can't remember what it is now, right?
That thing he did.
I just remember Memory Vague was the YouTube channel, Prism Corp. That was the YouTube channel with all the stuff that ended up on Echo Jams too, for the most part. So it's like, you know, like all this shit, the chill wave movement before it, like all this shit was in our heads, and we were trying to synthesize all these concepts together to make a new mood for music. And in my opinion, like Dennis, like when he came out like 60/40 and like I think Gorgeous Fantasy and these albums, like I thought like, well, this person's the first person that really nailed it. But more important than him nailing the ideas was that that was a peer that you were friends with and you could talk to and you exchanged ideas back and forth with him. And I'm like, well, that's where it starts, really, is because like I thought he was the first person to really do a good job at synthesizing all the ideas we were all listening to and thinking about, putting it into albums and like really creating a new mood for music. So like, you could tell me all day long that Echo Jams is the first real vaporwave. Pad was like, is a really great video too. He did an excellent job at researching that. And like, I remember there's another YouTuber who jumps on as well after Pad, and he talks about 18 Karat Affair too. And he says, well, 18 Karat Affair wasn't that popular, so like, it doesn't really count as much as Echo Jams. I'm like, it counts more than Echo Jams, friend. Like, it counts so much more, because like, Dennis was in the scene. Dennis was like, oh, there's only a few artists around that were like, you know, you everybody could listen to Echo Jams, but there's no vaporwave scene unless there's people creating a vaporwave scene. Right. Without it, it's just Echo Jams. And it's just like another interesting point in 10 Tricks Point Never's career. But it's not a scene. Vaporwave doesn't start because of Echo Jams. Vaporwave starts because of the people who listen to Echo Jams and multiple other things decide to start making music and decide to find each other and start working together and creating record labels. Echo Jams is like fucking like the Stooges are to punk rock music or something like that. You know what I mean? Go ahead.
I was going to say, do you have any thoughts on people saying that Devin Hendricks, a.k.a. JPEG Mafia's 2009...
Oh, yeah, this again.
I
don't even know about this. Like, I didn't even know. Like, everyone wants to... You know why they say that? Because they love JPEG Mafia, and they want JPEG Mafia to have even more credit for shit. I don't know what that was. Like, you know who I remember from the Vaporwave scene more than JPEG Mafia was... What's his name from...
Gift Crew.
What the heck is that? What's the really...
Oh my god, I forgot.
I get it. You should be on Funny Matt.
Who was that? Was that fucking...
Who?
Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, we just talked about him. Jimi Hendrix and...
And Ozzy and Drix or whatever.
Yeah,
Ozzy and Drix.
Ozzy and Drix.
Drix and Drix Yogurt.
I thinking of something else. Like, it was like, this is like, I'm thinking of something like that was going on during like...
You're talking about the GIF?
The hard vapor. Era,
are you talking about the Gift Crew riff? That was completely made up. I have no idea what.
There was like some sort of Yip Vapor thing going on.
Yip Vapor.
It was like a joke thing. I can't remember what it was called. It was like this Bannock. Awful. It was like it was probably like the Hard Vapor Crew or people who hated the Hard Vapor Crew were making like something like a hard yiff or something.
What the hell? People on the internet are so weird.
I'm sorry. I mean, we got derailed.
Anti-fur.
I mean, I don't know, man. If you want to talk about hip-hop artists that were a little bit more involved in Vaporwave at the time, then honestly, I would talk about more like Dom McLennan from Brockhampton. Like, he was very involved in early Vaporwave scene. He was a big fan of all this stuff. He would he messaged me multiple times telling me, oh, yo, Philadelphia, the song by Skeletal Lips is dope. I know Ryan from St. Pepsi is good friends with him, too. Like, if you want to talk about, like, a hip-hop artist that was involved in Vaporwave, I don't really know much about JPEG Mafia being involved. Honra. But definitely Dom McLennan was very involved in all this stuff, and still Facebook friends with him today because of that.
John Lennon was involved in this?
Dom McLennan from Brockhampton.
You know, I was thinking on your previous point about, like, how you approach topics, and, like, your questions are mostly the same from, like, video to video. It really kind of, you know, different responses from different guests to that question.
Should we
really
start doing that?
No. What I'm trying to say is that's a very good way to get personal with your guests, you know, kind of amplify their voice and kind of like how we differently approach that differently at Funny Net, where we kind of amplify the world our guest is from,
yeah,
and have our guest be kind of like the ambassador of that world. Like,
it's
for example,
less an interview and we'll continue.
It's less an interview and more like an exploration of a specific world that the guest happens to be kind of a voice.
Your hot takes to be an interview show so much as it's just a discussion panel.
Exactly.
And
the chat is very much involved. You know,
and like
sometimes, obviously,
we'll have a guest on and it does get interviewee in a way sometimes, but then sometimes it doesn't.
Sure.
Sometimes it's all about.
What? Sometimes the guests will ask you questions back. Like, I'm sure, like, I mean,
we had India.
Questions. I'll do more. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
He kept the topic a surprise.
Indy hosted our podcast for an episode.
Nice.
I mean, who else? I mean, he's hosted so many. It's about time he hosted ours.
Yes.
Yar.
So
we should talk about who's the sexiest president is again. Get skeletons and lipsticks pouring on that.
Kennedy, probably.
Barack Obama.
I suppose so. Well,
you know, when I think of Vaporwave, I think Barack Obama.
Speaking of hip hop people who were into Vaporwave,
Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden. I don't think he's hip to the vapor. You know?
Why? He's slow. He's halfway there. Just needs a little bit of reverb, and the boy's got it.
A little bit of reverb to that Biden, and you got yourself a
album.
Got yourself a classic, an album. Yeah,
yeah. The White Hyper Mall.
I don't know if that's possible, like a high, like a physical Paul stretch, like a rack effect. I don't know if that's possible.
I'm just imagining like a cartoon George Biden.
George Biden.
Joe Biden being like stretched like Laffy Taffy, like one of those like old little, one of those like rubber doll things, like the
Armstrong.
Armstrong. That with like Joe Biden.
Oh boy.
Yeah, John's having a field day with that one.
Yeah.
What if he was stretched and reverb? Paul stretched? Who's Paul?
My
uncle.
Okay.
So, getting back to podcasting, oftentimes when we podcast, you know, you set up the stream, you get the guest on. You start talking to the guest, and then I forgot the point I was making.
Then you forget the point you were making.
You get the guest on the podcast, and then you start chattering.
Somebody who was unfamiliar with what you were doing, like actually, because we haven't, I don't think.
Who didn't know what we were, who didn't know, like...
I feel like everyone we've had on so far gets that we're going to be really stupid for a long time and barely make content. And we're going to talk about Rugrats for way too long. Stuff like that, all right?
I think I'm going to get back to Rugrats at some point.
Yeah, like you said when you joined, you were like, I know how this works. I'm familiar. I've blah, blah, blah. I've seen the show. But like, has anyone ever been like, oh, I thought we were supposed to be like, don't know. I thought this was like an interview, or what is this? Or
oh, we've kind of had
people have tuned in before. So sometimes people have tuned in before and like not quite understood that this wasn't going to be an interview. Like so, like I think some like when we had Keith on, like there were some people who tuned in and were like, when are they going to ask Keith questions?
Yeah, that's
when are they
going
to do more things?
We've
like,
had
fuck
a...
you. There was some.
When's
like,
he going to
really
play big... live? When's
there was
teacher...
a there's a famous like artist who like tuned in because he expected that. I'm not allowed to say his name anymore because I got yelled at last time I did that on the Hot Takes podcast because I don't give a fuck. I'd say his name right now if I wouldn't get other people
it's
in
not
trouble
Hot Takes,
over
I will say.
But so but can... like, and I actually opened that show with fuck you and I said his name and I'm like, you know, like, you want to learn more about Keith Rankin? You got two options. Look at the dozens of interviews that are already existing with him on various sources or start your own fucking podcast and run it however you like. Little boy.
We were
anyway.
We were when we had Dan on.
Fuck you. Like I'm a nice person. I'm a very nice person, but I'm not a fucking like I'm not a pushover either. And I do not give fucks if you go my way.
When we had Dan Mason on, some of his super fans came, I think, just because they love Dan. And like I said, it's not necessarily an interview. We were talking, I don't even remember our topic was, but we were talking very broadly about something. Dan's our friend. I don't need to interview Dan again. Like and then this person in chat was just kinda like what does he think of this? What is this song? What about this? What does he think of this? And I was like, totally unrelated. Like, we're talking about Rugrats. I don't want to know
we're
what
talking
he...
about Rugrats. typical funny net episode. Yeah. We're chatting about Rugrats. You know, we're
you
deep
do.
Into season 3 lore, and this motherfucker wants to ask Dan what he thinks of the color purple? Fuck you. Get out of the chat, banned.
Like, if right now somebody was like, what new music is Skeleton Lipstick working on? It's like, okay, there's a time for that.
There's a time for that. Maybe that time's right now. What are you working on?
Okay, all right. Yeah, we can chat about that.
We
got plugged
at the end of the show, John.
Sure. I mean, like, first of all, like, I have this, like, ambient, like, melodic ambient emeralds-ish side project called Polymath Vampire that I just finished up. It's, like, basically, I have a bunch of synthesizers that I would program melodies into. I'd run them into each other, run out these sequences into each other and combine them and sort of dance them around each other in a very, very interesting fashion. And I finished that. And after I was pleased with that, I reached out to a few artists in the vaporwave scene who I knew played guitar, and I asked them to add some drone-ish textures over top certain songs. So like Winter Quilt did some work for it, Donor Lens did some work for it, Golden Living Room did some work for it, Lee from Hawaii 94, thank you. Oh God, I've known him for 11 years. Anyway, Hawaii 94 and Surfing, right? And Surfing as well. He had some guitar over top of it, and Tower of the Sun did as well for me. And then Angel Fire Tools mastered it for me. So that's actually finished now, and I'm just working with this phenomenal artist Vaporwave Susie to develop the cover art for it.
Vaporwave
and so
Susie.
That's done. Susie, it's Vaporwave underscore SV ECY.
Yes.
Very talented artist.
So we're releasing that.
What's that?
Were you releasing?
Where? So what would you say?
Are you self-releasing it? Or are you putting out a work with
I don't know. I have to shop it around next,
John,
I guess.
Nice smile,
John,
on your face.
Maybe if you're interested. If I would be honored. I've been turned down by Business Casual before, though, so I'll try again,
He's
I guess.
He's a tough cookie to crack.
When? Oh, well, actually, I could probably...
It was a while ago. It was right when I first decided to start re-entering the vapor world, and then I sent some Skeleton Lipstick material to you, and I was like, I'm Skeleton Lipstick. I've been around for a while. Do you want us to release this?
You were like,
I remember vividly getting your demo in, because I remember just like, who the fuck is this guy saying he's been here? I've been here, what, how long? I don't remember this skeleton guy.
Yeah, I remember the skeleton, but not the lipstick part.
I
went inside me, but I remember
have
your lipstick.
Been, though, sir.
Well, well,
you
can't
keep track of everything in Vaporwave. That's true. The thing, right?
But you took a hiatus, and you know what?
2014, like after the first wave of Vaporwave, I did kind of like, that's I released like an EP or two, but I didn't really, like I did take a hiatus up until I decided to start doing Terminally Chill, the Vaporwave dance party.
I have a great question you just reminded me of.
Like, you have to understand that like I had just like kind of like got, the reason I had to take the hiatus was like, A, like, honestly, like the residency was getting to be too much. And B, like I was going through a divorce. So I had to, because I got married way too young. Yeah. Don't do that. FYI.
Yeah.
Don't get married young. Try not to do that. So I had to go through like a divorce and I had to get, you know, finish my residency. And then like my post-divorce life was like turbulent, to say the least.
My pre-divorce life is sick right now.
November 19th, 2018 is when you sent that demo.
So I got to get back into Vaporwave again, like 2017, 2000, around that time, right? I started coming back into it. And then like I pulled out some of these these tracks that I had been working on a long time ago. And it was a lazy move on my part, honestly. Like I thought like, well, this is pretty good. Maybe John, you know, I was a big fan of Business Casual. It was honestly, when I started doing the Vaporwave Dance Party again, man, that was the first place I went to go back and look for new music at, was obviously Business Casual. Because it's the best curated record label out there. You know, can't say enough about it.
So, this is something... So,
John hates these compliments, so I'll stop now.
It's way easier to insult him.
It's way easier.
Yeah, Business Casual, more like...
Amateur.
You look stupid.
This is something me and John have definitely talked about. Oh boy.
But I do have new Skeleton Lipstick music that I have been working on, and it is like fucking fire as fuck. It's very good. But that may not be until you know, the other reason I even came back in a lot too was because My Pet Flamingo had reached out to me to re-release the Lipstick Elite work, you know what I mean? They wanted to release that on vinyl, so they came out to me. And then also, like, George, like, encouraged me to sort of start doing this stuff again. And I think, honestly, the real tipping point was when I was talking to Surfing, and I was telling Surfing about how, you know, I've been doing the Vaporwave Dance Party. I was talking to Penny from Surfing about how we're doing the Vaporwave Dance Party and this and that. And he's like, oh, and when are you going to make new music? And I'm like, well, I've got the dance party. I've got this. I got that. He's like, but when are you making new music? And I'm like, I don't know. I guess I gotta open up the old DAWs again, get the synths out.
You know? Something you mentioned, kind of.
But it was great. Like I came back in, and like I always make it a point to learn new techniques, to do new things, to listen to more, to actively listen to more music, so as to learn how to improve and to do more, and to incorporate, but not to lose what I've always done, and to incorporate. You know,
More people should know that that music creation, it involves a lot of music listening.
It's the number one rule.
So much fucking music.
People always ask, oh, "How do I make this?" And I go, "You should never have to ask." If you have to ask how do I make this, you need to do more listening.
I think it's like,
and if you don't physically know how to run the program, then you're
run to your mama.
You're so many steps behind when you should be asked. Like,
you learn, John, I'm going to send you the Polymath Vampire stuff along with the cover art, which is pretty phenomenal. And and I will not hold it against you if you say it's not really Business Casual's thing, but I will say it's pretty good, and it's got a lot of names attached to it, so it'll sell.
It's
pretty awesome.
I will definitely, because I have your demo up.
Is it still out there? Did I not delete that yet?
No. I have it. The demo is actually deleted, but I'm kind of intrigued now. What did you send me? Because it's I'll quickly be a memory. Let's
put it on
the thing, but the playlist is gone.
The playlist is gone. I think some of the songs on there probably still made the cut for the next album I'm working on, but I think only like two or three, honestly. They're pretty good. Pretty good music, I think. But like it could have slapped harder, and it will now.
Yeah, just
go ahead. What?
You know, particularly like I really am very pleased with my first two records, the one I made with Lux and in my first album, Glows in the Mells. I'm very pleased with those. I think I'm very happy. Like when I write music, I try to write it in a way that it exists outside a timeline so that it sounds like it could come from any era and I'll still like it. I write it for me too. I'm like, I try to write music that I'm like, I'll still like this 10 years later. You know what I mean?
Feels like life. That's a good song. Hey, I'm not supposed to say this late April, early May.
For what?
You got something stuck in your throat there?
Yeah, I had something stuck in my throat. I'm going to drink some water.
For what?
Yeah,
music?
Good.
Do you do that?
So, but anyway, the next Skeleton Lipstick album, I will have that ready by summer because, you know, I got some big shows coming up in the summer and I'd like to have it done by then. But, yeah.
This is very exciting.
Other questions about music or production, I guess?
I was gonna ask more on the kind of the topic at hand. I mean, you mentioned in passing about just people in general, and something me and John have talked about. Kind of, I would say debated, but it wasn't. It was more of a discussion. But you said after the first wave of vaporwave, and I was wondering if you have your own timeline of what you consider the waves of or trends. Because I definitely think this guy to this guy was kind of first wave. This guy, like, what do I consider myself? Like, coming in from 2014, 15, and then like current, like, when? How many different 14, eras?
15, I think, is like the second era, right?
That's what I was thinking.
Starting from 2014 is like the second era. I mean, I'm from. Here's the thing. I know that when I started, it didn't have a name, but I knew all the people, and we're all friends in the internet community, and we all kept posting in the same areas, and that's how we became friends. And I know that Mr. Nonsense released Mr. Nonsense was a blogger. He had a really popular Tumblr and a really popular Facebook group called Chillwave Glo-Fi Hypnagogic Pop, and we would send our music to him, and he would post our YouTube videos, because back then you used to make, in addition to making music, you would, like, you know, we all watch those, you know, 10 Tricks Point Never stuff where you take stuff and clip up together old commercials to make your own aesthetic. We were all doing that, putting our music to it, because if it was maybe more likely a blog might post your YouTube, because blogs were big back then, so maybe a blog would be more interested in posting a music video to go along with your song that might sell it a little bit more than just the song itself. So we all did that. And I just remember, you know, Mr. Nonsense, aka Matteo Califari, I think he was Italian. He was a big fan of us, of all this kind of music that was being made. And I think he figured out the people that were sort of doing similar things and that had similar influences and would just post them all the time. And he's done a few interviews where he was talking about these people and he was like saying, it's like a different thing. It's synthesizing a lot of different ideas together. It's a lifestyle kind of music. I don't exactly know how to describe it any more than that, but he was describing vaporwave before it had a name. And he was posting stuff like myself and Mesh and Otto and, Topaz Gang and like a bunch of people. If you want to actually get an idea of like the early vaporwave world, just download the Mr. Nonsense Cop Symposium Volume 1 that he put together. And that's got, like, you'll recognize so many different names on it, like everybody. Like Ryan's on there, like all kinds of people are on there. And the people who you don't know anymore that are on that comp that you don't know any longer, those are the people who kind of like resisted being called vaporwave and like were like, oh, no, we're going to be like indie dance on it.
Yeah. So, second part of this, that this was,
I'm going to post the link for that Mr. Nonsense comp in the thing right now. But like, you can, I'm just looking at it right now, and like Hawaii 94, Scalp and Lipstick, Mirror Kisses, aka George. Yeah. You know, who else Hunter is on here?
Mm-hmm. Bass Hunter.
Walkie Talkie, who is actually Andrew Walker.
Walkie Slush.
Hey.
Andrew Walker did the cover art for this as well. And Andrew Walker, of course, from Stratford Court, right, runs that. Yep. Stratford Court is a big early player. Vector Graphics is on here. Luxury Elite is on here. Macross is on here. Tuwa is on here. VHS Logos is on here. Beasted Knight is on here. Dinosaurus Rex, who was, of course, the
Rex,
who, of course, ran, you know, the Future of Funk label itself.
He
right?
coined Future Funk, you would
yeah,
say.
Yeah, right. So this is like, you want to get a good idea. Like, I'm on here, right? If you want to get a good idea of like the early, and if you don't know the artists on here, it's because they, you know, didn't like I remember Box, like I was friends with these people too, like Box of Wolves, and like, you know, they're all like, they were like, the people who didn't lean into something new kind of didn't last.
God, so here's a question too that it's plays 10 years off this perfectly. Do you think it is more important to know about the past or contemporary peers?
I think it would be great for people to know more about contemporary peers, because I think we need some new stuff out there.
There certainly wasn't a right answer. I thought about that today, and I was like,
I'm a big fan of not holding too dearly to everything. You know what I mean? I've been around for a long time. I've been involved in multiple scenes as well, and like, there are people who are my age, and they can't get over what they thought was cool when they were 18. You know what I mean? Mm. They can't get over it, and they can't see anything else being cool aside from what they liked and what was cool. But that changes all the time. Life changes so often. Everything changes. The world changes. Music changes. Art changes. Fashion. Like, all these things change. And like, you got to like always be open to that and always be willing to accept that and to move with it, to be on the rhythm of art and the rhythm of the world. You know what I mean? And to not get too mired deeply. Of the world.
Beatles?
It's easier with the genre obsessed with the past. To cling on to those past artists.
Yeah, that's true, but that happens in every genre. You know what I mean? Let me tell you, like, I don't know. Occasionally I go to music festivals, like the big music festivals for the modern EDM acts, right?
I used to go to one a year, but they're canceled right now, obviously.
I just went to recently? I went to Hijinx in Philadelphia, and then prior to that I was down in Las Vegas for EDC. And it's just the thing that happens I keep noticing, and I'm like, oh man, I don't know if these kids are gonna get bored of this eventually, but like, I don't think like you ever go to one of these things and like Illenium isn't headlining, like what, like, or Excision isn't headlining, and I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, you guys should try to bring in some people that aren't like Lose the Child once in a while. Like, it's great, they're consistent, but like, maybe you. I mean, I don't know. People think vaporwave is gatekeeping. I can't even imagine the level of gatekeeping in the Diplo world. You know what I mean?
So here in Detroit, we have one called Movement, or it used to be called Detroit Electronic Music Festival, or TechFest.
Detroit must have a very interesting.
So their festival got such a
strong association with like specific types of dance music. Well, yeah. Specific types of techno music at that,
Chicago,
right?
Chicago House. Oh, right? Wait, I'm so stupid.
Well, you're not wrong, because there's a lot of the techno and Detroit
scenes.
A lot
scenes. Of like footwork and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
So like ghetto tech, that stuff like that.
It's so huge. Yeah, so I can't even.
There's always a weird contention of like, is this festival getting too mainstream? Because like, they'll have someone headline it that's like, I've seen, like, you know, deadmau5 has been there before, like as like a headliner and stuff like that. But then you're like, but I don't know, the other 50 artists are like really kind of low key, like people I know are playing this festival, and it's like that's what I always liked about it, is that it was like never necessarily about like some weird EDM networking festival. It was more like kind of your underground, it felt more down to earth as everybody falls asleep during this.
Going on that though, you know, you got to think like you have to have something to draw people in for all these.
Yeah.
Because things like.
Something safe.
Exactly. You have to have just something that's just like the little like meat on the chain before like you get all the rest of the stuff, you know.
It was funny because the movement that was scheduled for 2020, Diamondstein was supposed to play it, which I thought was pretty nuts. Wow. And like I said, like I've seen the last one I went to was in 2019, obviously. I've been every year since 2011, and the lineup that I loved was like Disclosure, which is like my fucking favorite electronic act right now. Yeji, which is like just that perfect on the rise, but also not.
Yeji.
Yeji's.
You saw her in the rain.
I listened to Rain Girl in the rain. Ooh, beautiful moment.
God.
And then like Grizz was there, who's a Detroit act, so it wasn't like two.
Grizz is a Detroit act.
He
huh?
is. Yes, he is.
Grizz is a lot of fun. Grizz is another artist I see at all these festivals too.
He's the guy that like
people, he's a lot of fun.
He labels his stuff future funk, but in more of a But he labels it kind of ignorantly, not.
Yeah.
Young
Bay toured with him and opened for him.
Yeah, I actually remember that. I remember like I wonder if there's ever a discussion of like, the future funks we're labeling each other are totally different. Cuz Grizz is like blues funk, like saxophone.
He's like EDM based. I mean, EDM, he's part of the modern EDM sphere, you
but
know
then
what I mean?
Young Bay's like funk is more soul like funk, disco funk.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is like those EDM artists who are the, you know, it's Grizz is also interesting because I think he's like a real DJ too. Like he can DJ real sets and you know, he doesn't just have to do the big bombastic performative, you know, audio visual presentations that the DJs do. They're not really DJing. They're hitting play and doing a beautiful audio visual presentation, and there's nothing wrong with that.
I've seen him a few times.
I've seen him do actual DJ sets on Twitch, like where it's like, like house. It's just like low-key house, which is cool, man. It's cool that he does both. You know, that's very good for him. He's a very talented human being. He's a tremendously talented person.
His albums are, I swear, he's
puts out like so many of them too. Like, I don't understand.
EDM-y I'll get.
That's like, I think that's a lot of people, that he's the most EDM-y they'll get. I get more EDM-y than that. Honestly, I listen to a shit ton of future bass because
it shows.
I'm just trying to learn how to do it. You know what I mean? It's interesting to me, and it's interesting to compose those ideas into music. I really like the way they stop and start and use silence. Yeah. You know, a lot of drops before, like, I like
yeah,
drops
I know what
that drop it. It's just very shocking. I like the basses. I like the parallel compression to make things louder. It's interesting to me. I don't, you know, I like to listen to that stuff because I like to think of how I can incorporate that into what I do in my way and with my voice. You know what I mean? Not, I don't want to be them. I don't want to sound like them, but I want to learn stuff. You know what I mean?
But then you can listen to like, stuff. I'll do that with Disclosure, but then I'll just go, I'll never do this. And then I get sad.
No, you'll do it, but you'll try and do it your own way, and then it will become something unique.
They just released a single with Zed, and I'm like,
oh well, then.
That's
interesting too. The collab culture involved in that world is very interesting, right? Like,
I always feel like it's not personal at all. You know,
I always feel like it's not personal too. I also wonder if they actually like have to pay them at some point. Like, if you're an up and coming modern EDM producer, like, is the next phase of your career to the point where you can hire Excision to put his name on your track and just pay him like
$500,000? That's kind of how it works in like the hip hop world, right? Where like you just pay for a feed, you pay $25,000 for a feature, and they never even see you.
It is impossible to find like EDM singles released anymore that is not like Seven Lions featuring
Wiz Khalifa,
Zed Dead, featuring five other producers featuring Dead. Featuring like Wooly, featuring Matt, you know, whatever the fuck else, like Eurobus, like all. Yeah, that's another one.
Even Young Bay put out the Bad Boy featuring Wiz Khalifa, and I'm like, I bet they never even saw each other. I bet he just got that track.
That was bonkers.
But that collab culture helps them with streams, right? We know why it happens. We know why collab culture is a thing in music these days.
Man, if you're not good enough to sell your own music, then get out of here.
You gotta
collab with Wiz Khalifa to get a couple extra plays. Fuck you. Get good, scrub.
I always feel bad when there's like, I've seen indie artists have like a really solid track.
I love Young Bae. I think he's great.
I do too. I've known him for on a personal level.
Yeah, Dallas is great. I've known him for a long time too. Good for him. He gives people hope that if he can do it, maybe you can
too. I will give him that. He's exposing more. He's exposing the mainstream.
He still associates himself with. He still do the shows with people who like Vantage and Macross.
That's what I was going to say.
People who are younger than that. He's still he's hardcore Vantage. Being like, yeah, I'm like, I remember like one of the, I remember. Yeah, he's good for him. Good on you. Good on you.
Dude, Vantage got huge within the last few years, especially with like 50/50 getting huge on TikTok. And Warner approached him to do a record deal.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. And then Warner approached him with a music deal. And now he did the thing where like he remade 50/50, but he remade the sample. And you can tell.
Yeah,
the version of 50/50, and he got Abstrafacto to do the vocals on it. Yeah, the new version of 50/50, it is slightly different from the original. But he got, he interpolated the original sample. That's kind of a genius.
I got to hear that. That's
maybe you've heard it before, but you couldn't tell.
There's a group that does that like professionally, and they're listed as credits. So remember, we looked into this.
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
And he's collabing with Todd Edwards, dude. And, dude.
Good for him.
That's what TikTok does. That's what Spotify does for you. Support Spotify. This is bad time.
My name's Neil Young. I love Spotify.
That's really funny. But not appropriate right now. So just
what happened? What happened to Spotify? Honestly, Spotify has really done nothing.
All they've done is give me like a heart attack, and I'm like, oh god.
All Spotify has done is actually just been nothing. They couldn't care what anyone's doing on that platform, and they're just like,
no, they can't care what anyone's doing. What? They just want to see you fight for spots on the goddamn.
they just wanted someone to listen to.
They just want to like go compete for our attention, fool. Be on our little playlist.
Maybe it's just me, and this might be a hot take. Not the right podcast for it, but. Hot take here. Spotify,
pretty good.
Y'all really need to chill out with the hate towards Spotify. Oh my god, you're not getting paid $1 million for a single play that people pay $10 a month to listen to, and you're only getting like a couple thousand plays a month. Like, think about it. Like, if this was on YouTube, if you get that many plays, you get even less. If Spotify, by comparison, is pretty good, sure. It's better to buy it on Bandcamp. That way the artists get the whole thing. But at the same time, no one's buying music anymore.
Discoverability, baby.
So, you know, you either have to have a gimmick like DDS does with the subscription, or you just got to suck it up and take what you're getting with Spotify, because, hate to say it, there are very few many other options that are going to pay you nearly as well. And because things like, as soon as you put it up, it's free money at that point, you know?
Yeah.
You don't have to do anything.
If you can take advantage of it, I recommend it.
The thing about Spotify, like, I see people bring up, like, the higher payouts on other platforms. And it one important thing to keep in mind is that Spotify has the most users out of, like, any of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you see charts, and you see Napster has the higher payout. Has the
when Napster comes out, and everybody starts using Napster, at that point, they're going to have to lower that cut, because they're going to have more people, because they're going to need to have to... They're going to have to do the same thing Spotify has to do. That's not a forever solution. There's a reason why things are so low. They can't afford. How many ads do you think you have to listen to in order to afford paying more than just a couple of cents out of something, you know?
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to actually go on with what you just said about the Spotify thing and artists complaining about not getting paid a lot. And that's true. And I respect and understand that. But let me tell you right now, most of the artists... no one even listen to their music without Spotify. Like, no one would even hear you. Like, no.
Discoverability. That's the point.
Like, you know, in the era where people were making gold records and platinum albums and shit like that, like, you understand that there's, like, barely any record labels. Barely any even independent records. I got all my music because I subscribed to, like, J-Tree Records, like, little catalog, and they would tell me the five new artists that they were going to sign that I could listen to those albums. And I have now... there's like hundreds and hundreds of artists I discover constantly, and like every artist, like you motherfuckers, you'd have zero money. No one would give a fuck about your little band or your little act. You'd have zero listens. You'd have zero money. You have zero exposure. No one ever hear you. What, in your local seat of Nebraska, like fucking like tiny town in Nebraska, like where everyone is just playing like covers of like Bad Company. No one would hear you. No one would care. You'd give up and you'd work an office job and die at 70 and like, marry someone you hated. Like you, at least someone's listening to you. Someone's listening to you now. And you know what? The artists who are trying to who really complain about not making a lot of money are probably like the really big artists. Like, they're just mad that they can't make as much as they used to. You know. And yes, do we want bigger payouts for artists? Of course. And we have an option for that. It's called Bandcamp, and you could buy it there.
Exactly.
Yeah. I would use everything.
You're right. Like, fuck Spotify for not paying us a lot of money. Agree, but at the same time, I'll go buy it on Bandcamp.
Exactly.
And I'm actually, and you can listen to my music on Spotify very easily and very nicely. And from that, you can listen to all my friends and like the What's Skelly Listening To podcast, and maybe you go buy their stuff too on Spotify. And you know what I mean? Like, go
on Spotify
on Bandcamp. Bandcamp is like definitely giving people a way to make money. That it's just like there's so many people would never be heard.
I saw it say Spotify is for showing your music to normal people.
Like, it's very fashionable for us to hate on Spotify, and I agree, like, it would a perfect world, we'd all make more money, but well, a perfect like, world, everybody would be making more money for their jobs, and nobody's making as much as they should right now in general, I feel like.
Hell yeah.
The internet has given us something beautiful. It's given us a platform, everybody the same platform.
Also, people just used to steal music. Also, people just use when people want a cool indie label, this went like a MediaFire link and downloaded it for free and didn't buy the album and didn't do shit. Like now, like that's like what it was like before a lot of streaming.
Back in the day, I used MediaFire
blogs and we used MediaFire link the fuck out of everything we wanted and shit we didn't know we wanted. Full discographies. We're not torrents. Just torrented everything for free. Everyone took everything for free back like right before streaming.
You know what? Before let's wrap this up. We'll continue this in the after show if we want to.
Yes.
But do we have anything we want to plug? I'll go to you first, Skelly. You already brought up that you got a couple records in the works. Yes,
I do. Okay. So let me recall. I have the Polymath Vampire album. It's called Make Me Feel Alive. It is pretty much done. It's going to feature Golden Living Room, Donor Lens, Winter Quilt, Tower of the Sun, and Hawaii 94 Surfing and Hawaii 94's Lee. And Also, I'm going to be participating in that Encarta stream that's coming up shortly, when in spring, I guess. And also, Terminally Chill is returning to the Barbary next Thursday. We are going to have myself and the phenomenal Faith in Glitch, who does many Vaporwave Twitch streams himself. And also, Josh, great. He runs San Junipero, which is a synthwave party in Brooklyn. And he's coming down to co-DJ this with me. And also Swims. Swims is a wonderful future funk artist on Virtua 94 Records, who's also from Philadelphia, and he'll be coming in DJing this with me. And I'm very excited because both these people know how to use CDJs, so my life is going to be a lot easier when it comes to getting the sound system set up for
That's
this.
That's the best.
I always, you don't have to, but I love it when you do because it makes my life so much easier with this, with Terminally Chill to do it. There's another stream I'm going to participate in well that our friend Daydream Deluxe is doing for a charity, and I'm going to help out with that too. And watch Hot Takes returning after Valentine's Day. We're taking a break now.
That's so funny. I didn't even know you guys were taking a break, and then I saw that today, and I was like, well, perfect. He's not busy. He can come on here for a sec for now.
Yeah.
So perfect. He's a little bonus.
Yeah, also I'm going to be remixing a Be Careful song soon as well, so stay tuned for that.
Man.
Cool. Disco? Thank you, Skeleton.
Oh, you, me? For having
sure,
me.
I don't know.
Yeah, about a DSWK?
WDSK 97.9 FM, home of the funkiest in disco and news, with your host Scooter. Tomorrow, DJ set, and then jamming to audience submitted jams at WDSK 97.9 FM tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern on Twitch.
Twitch.tv/discoholic.
Here, I'll type something in the chat. Just click my name.
Yeah, click that. Hell yeah. Bit new this week for Business Casual. I just had enough. Zai Cohen Paradise Vinyl. Not a vinyl, it's a tape. But that is new this week on Business Casual. Last week we had Soulcraft Stranger, and then next week it has not been announced yet, but it is another future funk release from Alexis 744.
It's a gamer tag
for that. Also, New Christdown is pretty much finished. I need to finish some design work.
Who does the art?
Ordered the tapes. Again, who does the art?
Who does your art?
Who does the music?
Who does the music?
Also, I have a special something coming out January 31st.
Oh my god. You're really doing a Music Here to Stay anniversary edition without telling me?
No. Damn. Absolutely, I would not sell that. That sounds awful.
Damn it.
It's Little Elm. Extra little something. It's something new. You'll have to figure it out.
Use your brains.
As for me, it's the 1 year anniversary of Music Here to Stay tomorrow. I'm not doing anything for it, but shouts out Business
Casual. We celebrate in our hearts.
In our hearts.
In our minds.
Listen to your heart. Yeah.
Listen. Yeah, go for the orange.
Yo. Shouts out.
On this earth world.
I have something. I'm not sure how much has been revealed on it, so I don't know how much I can say. Mm-hmm. I haven't talked to the person. But I have something coming out early February. That's what it says on my Spotify release.
Okay.
So early February, look out for that. I have talked about this before. If you've made it this far into the episode, I've already probably said what it is. Again, I just don't know. Anyways, early February, check it out. It's a cool song. What else have I done? You can always follow me on Twitch. This link in my name. That's not me. Fuck. I forgot I'm logged into this one. What, John?
AOL Vinyl.
There you go.
AOL Vinyl.
Oh, I guess this is still available, yeah.
I may be working on something for PhonyNet. We'll see. Something special. Something fun. Other than that, what else have I done? Anybody else want to tell me stuff I've done? That Encarta stream is
Drenched. Drenched is good.
Drenched has been out since November.
Drenched is now top of the charts, guys. Let's get to the top. Let's get number one.
Drenched.
Number one, guys.
No, everybody go listen to it right now.
It's on the down low. It got moved.
Don't go right now.
And download it too. Right, and buy it and do all the things for it.
Stream it on Napster so you
illegally
make more.
Stream it on Napster so he makes more.
I wonder if I'm on Napster. I didn't really check. I guess if I use
get on it.
So you are. You've
been a billionaire.
I intentionally just like pick like a handful just in case, like, you know, I'm already. Oh, I'm tap dancing on too many eggshells here, you know.
It's good.
So So if you guys want to leave Spotify, that's great because I'm on all the other ones too. So there. So that's
That's true.
You're not missing out.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck Spotify. If you fuck Spotify, you can listen to me everywhere. Honestly,
if you leave Spotify, you have to promise to listen to me somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm on all the things. So fuck Spotify.
And don't
tell anybody. Fuck Spotify.
Well, will you? You know, let's all wave to the camera.
Oh, yeah.
By wave.
Good idea.
Woo! Wait, bye. gotta get that gif.
Goodbye.